14. Yeah. On page 214 here, and there's a big Akedah, and this deals with actually an issue that is extremely relevant today, and the issue is going to be something about morality, natural morality versus Torah morality. Does where the Torah tells us to do something that we might be inclined to feel is right or wrong, whatever it is, how do you deal with it? Or better said, what is the moral structure that we're dealing with? Okay, so he also explores another piece, the relationship between morality and intellect. Okay, the first one, the Mishnah. Kol shachmas v'ruva ma'isav. Anyone whose chachma is more than ma'isav l'mal doma le'ilan shanav v'ruva m'shashav martin. Ruach bava krasav chasal pana. The Mishnah says, anybody whose chachma is greater than his ma'isim, he's like a tree that has many branches with few roots, and the wind knocks on the branches, and because of the surface area, the wind is able to uproot a lot. If his ma'isim are more than his chachma, then he's like a tree that has less branches and many roots, and then even all the winds in the world come, they cannot uproot it. That's the Mishnah Pergamos. Now he's going to explain. Heina Adam, he says, the person, a man, lefias komos chachma Hashem asher mikerem hoyet demusa talma ke'echad matzeh asodeh sepilim minnek. Chazal have pictured a man as like a tree, meaning, v'zeh kigmoyi she'ilon azeh imshu guf echad yimot v'chalok nevel k'neseyem. Even though it's one tree, but there are different sections of it, and each one provides and contributes something else. There is the part of the trunk or the roots that are in the or close to the ground, in the ground. Vashani, and then you have the branches that extend outwards into the air. Vashlishi, and the third part is the priya shalokeach menaleila, that he took the fruits. Ken yesh ba'adam geza v'shorish haaretz. So you have man also has the roots in the trunk. It is the physical part of himself and all his midas and tchunas the life that he lives with. So it's so fascinatingly enough, the trunk and root is the normal physical life. The branches are the wisdom that he garners from that. In other words, man spreads his interests out, he extends himself, that's the intellectual exploration of the world around him. And finally, the fruit that comes out is the understanding of God. So we have a base that's rooted in the ground, a very physical base, a physical self, and then we have an extension, we extend out to explore the world around us, and the fruit of that exploration is the understanding of God, the wisdom of God. And Chazal felt, if the trunk was really rooted, the person is very rooted, and we'll see soon what that would be in. Then even if he has many branches, that's okay, and he can have a lot of fruit. So he says like this: if you have a good solid trunk and solid roots, you may or may not have a lot of fruit. That it's not automatic. Not because you have a very solid trunk or many, many branches will you have fruit. But one thing is clear: if you don't have a solid trunk and you don't have good roots, then you'll never have anything really coming out of it. So basically, we're dividing the person into different strata, and there's going to be the basic strata, and then things coming out of it. So the things that come out of it are intellectual pursuits ending in the pursuit of God and good, etc. What's the first part? It says, so even if the person does things that are right and good, he still could be an intellectual lightweight. He still not produce much in terms of. There are many good people, people who act nicely, well, kind, who never made it past stage one. But it doesn't mean they have to be that way. Just because you're a nice person doesn't mean you have to be stupid. They could have known. In other words, if the first part is good, then the second part can or cannot be. Now, the question is, why is it like that? Why is it that if a person doesn't have good middos, he will lag behind in the pursuit of the intellectual pursuit of religion? What's one got to the other? A person's midas is to his personality, his chachmas to his seichel. We don't find correlations that with many other areas, so why would this be like that? This is three reasons. One, achas. Sheroya hamasim v'kilkla midas hua matridis otzasaris chachmas. The coaching of all us olamuna, he saiva v'zoyla yoyrish ukraim tolvish numa. So he says that having bad midas is something that doesn't allow you to pursue chachma. He doesn't quite say why or how. He does say that we're coaching kalal amuna, that we understand, that we could have that calculation. But he says it's something hamatrid ayoyis chachma. It bothers you, it distracts you. Maybe it means that if a person is very emotionally involved in something else, he can't free up his mind to think. Person who's full of taiva, person who's full of anger and hatred, any person that's very emotionally obsessed, he may not. Maybe that's what he means, I'm not sure. The second one is Vashenis, Kimisha Katsyos Ashlomas Akotin, Anikne Behergel, Koshin Shasi Hashemis Godla Nikabetushiyasin Behergel. The same thing he says is to develop one's midas requires consistency, nose to the grindstone, etc. To acquire chachma requires much more than that. So if the person has had a hard time being able to work on small things, then he's not going to be able to work on big things. Which one wonders, sometimes a very, very bright person with a very nasty personality, it might be much more difficult for him to work on his midas than it is to work on his seichel. Three, Ashlishi, Kimisha Nifkar Oisei, Chush Mechushav, Einishtav Shavyar Amin Oisev, Hinehu Bli Sofik, Yi Pocket Muskul Muskolov, Einishtav Shavyar Shahat. Somebody who's missing something in middles is going to be missing something safe. On this one, I want to try to explain, but I do think we can get a handle on it. Let's understand what we're talking about. We're not talking here about exploring, let's say, digging for oil and deciding which rock layer has the best chance of having petroleum and pressure and so on and so forth. Those things really, really have nothing to do with midas. They're irrelevant. But in philosophy, meaning the pursuit of wisdom and the type of knowledge that philosophy talks about, which are broad strokes culminating in what is the good man shall do or what's the bad. That is at the end of the day the focus of it, the good and the bad, and so on. So if a person has bad middles, they must skew his understanding of right and wrong. A person whose own life is very self-centered doesn't really understand that giving to others is important. It's a type of thing where who you are and what you believe tend to converge. And therefore, if a person's midas are mushkes, then he's not going to see straight. I remember I was once a I had a friend who was about 20, 21. He had an unnatural desire for covenant, such a very precocious desire in covenant. And he always needed things to be printed and people should take in place. It was kind of way beyond normal. A nice person, not, you know, decent in learning, but this was a kind of a real weak point of his. Fast forward many years later, there was some sort of rabbi somewhere, and there was, and someone I knew, a young person went to hear a shir of his. The person said that the reason why you're mechuyev in Kavanat Torah, why is there, generally speaking, an obligation for Torah, he said, because people should be paying for the learning that they do. But the Torah says that you can't take money for learning Torah, for teaching Torah. So we pay them with kavod. Now, this person took his own warped sense of like equating kavod with payment or money and sort of pasting it onto the Torah. And, you know, however he'll look, everything is going to come through that perspective. It's amazing. So a person whose middles are messed up, his understanding of good and bad. So this third one of his, so basically he has three things. The first one I think is bad middles, including taivas, etc., a type of thing that suck you in, and you're not going to be able to study in a serious way. The second one is you haven't developed the skills. Studying and learning requires a lot of focus and a lot of self-discipline, which you haven't gotten because you haven't practiced it. And finally, he says, because it actually skews you. And I think the Rambam is pretty much like this third one. The Rambam, in many places, speaks about if your midos are bad. I mean, it's bad means doing anything bad, really. It's not only what we call midos. It means if a person's practical world is somewhat perverted, it will reflect itself in his understanding of things. Vehine says, if he's a yechuyev, just like when we grow a tree, the first thing we need to make sure is that the stock is solid, the roots are good, because everything's going to come through there. Can you tamid mushvabazachelik my midas is and shashlamis? The person should first focus on his middles, kizel inyan ativi. So, being that we'll never have a top-sized pyramid, a flip pyramid, person needs to first make sure that he acts the way he should act. You cannot have a tree that is sick at its base and healthy with its fruit. This is, he thinks, what Rav Lozman Zayi meant in this Mishnah. If a person's maisim are merubah from chachmasai, it means he has a healthy stock, and branches can come out and grow well. But the other way around, it can't. Omno, he says, next paragraph. Kishay soy ru'ua, when the base is bad, v'odem yecholesh b'shtalus ha'sogis ha'mutbe lo b'shayna, and the base itself is flawed, even though he gets much chachma, he's easy to push him away from his goal. So chachamim were the ones who saw this truth, and they recognized there is v'sheizulosei lo yitachin. He says the Chachamim Ahema means the Chachamim, the let's call it, I think, the Goyish philosophers. They recognize this. They felt we need to guide people how to live properly. There are many books on how to live appropriately. This was part of philosophy. Logopas, he calls it. The Samura Shemal, and they made this the most important wisdom. The best of the lot, the most is a sefer shechub midas sadam atzmai u'sefer midas laristoi shorgzei u'sefer zeh. So I think it's called the Nicomedean Ethics. It's Aristotle's version of midas tovos, and he says it's very good. He talks to the issue of what is internal perfection, not what makes me a good or nice person to other people. What makes me a good person to myself? Now he says, "V'im she'elu." So he says there's value to that. "V'im she'elu hanyanim kulam yimotzem hamizbeinim prezavatayim uksuvim chazal." Even though you can find much of this advice in Chazal, we're trying to give advice of all of them. Like we explain always, we bring it down. So he says that there are two advantages, and this is true about psychology, for instance. Some very bright people will keep showing you Chazal that have very, very contemporary psychological insights. Now, that's the value of psychology is twofold. First of all, it's structured. Chazal, you have Chazal here, Chazal there, Chazal somewhere else, and you have it in a structured way where it deals particularly with this issue, that issue, the other issue. Secondly, Chazal just tells us. Psychology, any science, tends to give us a reasoned exposition as to why and how it is. Why does it follow from a person's basic instincts, this point, this point, this point? There's value in knowing it that way because it's much easier to understand something when it's in the context of an overall picture than when it's just a particular and insightful truth. Generally speaking, this is something which I think is true across the board and important. Whenever we speak about Torah having everything science has and so on, the problem is until we don't notice it through science, we almost can't find it in Torah. Maybe there was one genius over the generations that could do it. We can't. So once we see it worked out in a rational way, then we say, hey, that's really what Chazal mean over there. So he says it has a value. V'ulam, he says. So he explains till now the midos forming the basis for understanding. Two, the value of Umas Olam in their presentation. Now he goes back to Kal Yisrael. V'ulam. Heter Zechon and Tosa, this is obviously, this is, you see the three dots here, so we're skipping a big piece. Kolze v'teichem v'tosu hu v'shenaski v'tosil and shemane v'shoyin v'am v'tosu. V'zeh. Kadim min ha'ur shezachanu v'ari tzedik v'chal ha'odom. Ashtu omdu b'soyd Hashem v'oysa ha'mayim el niflo. V'lo yishomu es devorav mishmei kotshoy. Kehei ma shechui b'lam lochem l'fneim yoysha tchunas v'teichem ha'maisim. Kefi yishig zeim sikhlem v'shoyina. Ashtu yechtemem because the Goyim don't have any starting point except life's experiences, common life experiences, etc. So they're rooted, their beginning of understanding is rooted in the things they've gone through and have come to learn, and so on. Ulam, yes, he says, that's the Tzurusi Ilan. Omnam, he says, Ha'adam aloiki asha omad shamas p'nei Hashem. But the divine person that faced HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he or them is hefach shaylan. So a person who had a personal spiritual experience is the opposite. Ki hine hu b'shamayim gizoy v'shom makim tiyosoy v'klapim mayle shashrasha v'tzurosim ido alav shashrasha v'roishay v'nofenoy tzadaret. So he has a very, very different experience. He's starting with the world of Ruchnius first, and he's rooted in divine commands, which he brings down to this world. So we have two radically different starting points in the Umas Olam. Umas Olam can start only with life experience in some vague intuitive sense. We start with revelation. So just like a scientist, when he sees certain phenomena that he's checked and they're genuine, these phenomena, so that's a starting point. This exists. The question is now why? But I've seen what exists out there. Lazay says, "Kimoisha shanas a noisach la maizatim dinim." Just like most people, the other people of humanity, their sense of existence is by things that happen in the world. For us, the beginning is revelation. The beginning, the basic reality that we know for sure is HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists and revealed himself to us. And everything else is built on that. So he says, when a person, so our reality is, so let's give an analogy. When a person makes his theories about the world, his reality are common day-to-day experiences. And therefore, if someone says to me, is this table solid? I would say, you bet it is. I keep banging it. Every time I bang on it, my hand hurts. It is solid. A scientist, his reality is based on the laboratory. So he takes this wood, bombards it with particles. The particles have an easy time getting through. One in a million doesn't get through. And therefore, he concludes this thing is far, far from solid. So we both are building our core understandings on a basis, but the basis is very different. So Umma Sa'olam can only build it on the basis of their sense of right and wrong, and that's their sense of right and wrong. We build it on Gili, and therefore we have a very, very different Mahalach in what we understand to be right or wrong. So we have a chiyuv to follow the right and wrong of Torah, even if it's in conflict with what the world thinks. So, by the way, just I guess we'll pause for a second. This was written about 600 years ago. It was written sometime in the 1400s, maybe 550 or so or years ago, and they seem to be wrestling the same issue, same problem. When common, universal, human understandings, because there's something wrong, what do you do? If you think it's right or if you think it's obligated. Yaakov b'knois ha'pchoyim ha'achov b'zid adashim, and all of these, and it says the Nevi'im were called Meshugoyim, and then you see Shaul, even though Shaul had Rachmanis, and that's the nicest thing in general of Rachmanis, and yet over there he was vilified for being a Rachman. You see all these cases that that tell us a person had to act in ways that were counter to the society's intuitive sense of right and wrong. V'hine, mipnei she'anashim ha'elu b'nei Yaakov avinu, ba'al sheresh ba'aretz gizom, aval hem zera mevurach, v'mat ha'ashem espoyer. They are HaKadosh Baruch Hu's prize crop. V'godlu m'leido b'etnad al sheresh u'ma amitis. And we have a clear insight on what the Torah wants from us. Therefore, he says, we have a chiyuv to base our sense of right and wrong on the Gila of HaKadosh Baruch and so on. So the Akedah says over here a profound understanding of why for certain people, for people who didn't experience the Gila at Har Sinai, for them, Seichel is the arbiter, and that term is everything. For us, who we are, what we are, what we think to be right is determined by revelation. I want to add just one more point. He doesn't say it, and I'll talk about it, but I think just to be mashed in this point. Really, right and wrong are qualities that we have no way of really determining from ourselves. And that's what the Chet of Adam HaRishon It wanted to be killed by Kimi Deto Vera, and it wasn't. All other phenomena, we understand at least that something is strong means it will hold X amount of weight without buckling. That something is red means it will produce electromagnetic waves of a certain frequency, and so on. But we don't have a way of explaining what Ra and Tov is. Tov and Ra, so, I mean, life sort of teaches you what most people think is Tov, what people think is Ra. That's correct. But to understand it in a fundamental way, there is nothing like that that we have, because we can't relate it to anything. And Ruchness in general, I think, is something which can only be understood as revelation. Anything else is not Ruchness. If I say that evolution taught me to be nice to other people, because if I weren't nice to other people, my penguins would starve or whatever it is, that's taking philanthropy and being nice and good and reducing it to something that's not. Like a sort of a crude instinct of a poor animal doesn't know that I'll survive with it or without it and so on. But Kapanim, his point here is that the difference between what it is that what are our axioms and postulates, that's one, and then following into that once a person's understandings are branches of who he is. A person understands what he is, and if he's not good, then his understanding is also going to be.